she was about 4.5 pounds. She knew her exercise score was 9. There was, when I last talked to her, we're not sure if she'd even have to go to NICU.
Overnight.
Pardon?
Within overnight.
Oh, I should. Did we have a name?
Yeah.
I have one announcement concerning the technological advances that we have moved into. 11:30 last night, Ted and I were trying to get a PowerPoint up, and we had to make a lot of changes. Here, if you see a lot of changes, you did the original one. We couldn't get it last night. 11:30, we didn't want to call you or anybody else. So, we didn't do the best we could. If you cannot read this, most of all this we know anyway. But all these, we know it's small print, but it's, well, bear with us this week.
Any other announcements this morning? Yes.
Patrick's wife graduated yesterday. The Dorlands did it again last night, along with brother-in-law's help and labor help, and they provided a great meal for the youth, and appreciate them again. Youth that worked hard and had a good evening. Pam may have one. One announcement.
There's lots of ribs left from last night, and so we'll be scouting them.
With springs flowing in the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley,
good God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. Do not save yourself. My power and the strength of my hand have produced this wealth for me.
We will remember the Lord our God, for it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth
and
exalt in terms of the covenant he swore to our ancestors.
Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and revering him, and it will go well with you in the land.
Turn your hymnals to hymn number 103, Blessed Be the Name. We'll do all three verses, and please stand if we sing.
Thank you for your presence here in this place this morning. Thank you for successes that you have led us through, and Lord, teach us through the failures or the stumblings that we make, and Lord, we thank you through them, but not necessarily for them, but Lord, maybe even these stumblings or what appears to be failures can be a blessing. Lord, new life given to the church family. Thank you for that. Lord, we just come offering our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Believe in God
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades, and ever reigns and rules again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand Father Almighty. From whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you.
find in your bulletin, there's a litany for Mother's Day. Let us do that today. Mother's come in many different forms, and today we celebrate them all.
Thank God for mothers.
Everyone here is either a son or a daughter.
Thank God for mothers.
For those women who have joined God in heaven and whom we miss really here on earth,
Thank God for the mothers of the church.
For every woman who is working day and night to raise her children right now,
Thank God for the mothers of today.
For all the women who are expecting but aren't quite mothers yet.
Thank God for the soon-to-be mothers.
For the women who took in others' children to adoption and foster care.
Thank God for the mothers in heart so big.
For those women who have lost a child to death and must carry on.
Thank God for the mothers in heart.
For all the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but chose instead to mother everyone else.
Technology's wonderful when it works, huh? Thank you.
report is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She sees that her trade is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distance and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with fashion. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but she surpassed them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. About motherhood. There are so many different views, and in most cases, all but one or two here this morning, three or four maybe, we all had different mothers. So we saw a different pattern. Or we saw motherhood and mothers from a different angle than our neighbor did, even. I remember as a real young fellow, I would go home and ask my mother why she didn't do things like our neighbors, the neighbor mother did. She'd cook white beans or pinto beans with biscuits. But in our house, it was beans and cornbread. And, that's just one little example of how two neighborhoods, I mean, same neighborhood, two different households, and you learn that things are different. And I would ask about another lady in the neighborhood, who was my brother-in-law's mother, why mother didn't make biscuits like she did. Well, I think it's because she didn't want to. And she never did. Her excuse was that Ms. Madison used too much grease. And maybe she was saying then that we didn't need so much grease. So many different situations. I got in trouble on Mother's Day once with my wife. If you see the litany, it's about the last leader. We were, in this one it says, women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but chose instead to mother everyone else. In the Elmwood Church, which I made a lot of stumbles there, more than I have here, if that's possible, yes. There's a lady there, a school teacher, a retired school teacher. Her name was Ludie Newton. Mr. Newton and Ms. Newton were faithful people to the St. Andrew Cumberland Presbyterian Church. And they had taught all their lives. Then they had retired, lived there in El Dorado, attended the church. And if we were observing Mothers, our Mother's Day, honoring mothers, I recognized Miss Lee as one who wasn't a biological mother, and but she had mothered many children in elementary school. We got home, and my wife corrected me. But this wasn't my litany. I borrowed this one. And somebody else had the same thought. So please, if you are here and are not a biological mother, there are many people who fit this situation, and they need to be honored too, because they have acted as mothers. And I still think I was right, but we don't discuss that experience at our house, not even 30 plus years later, okay? Motherhood, it's dangerous to speak on. It is one of those American traditions. It's one of those not only American traditions, in many people's mind, and probably it's in my mind, it's a sacred subject. There are certain sacred subjects, and as you approach the subject, you do it with fear and trembling that you might get in somebody else's territory, or you might not say the right thing, put it like that. And I've said the wrong thing so many times. But I say motherhood is a sacred subject, and in the United States, what is apple pie, Chevrolet, and motherhood. But let me say that Chevrolet is not any way compared to motherhood, though we kind of put them together. And apple pie, that has to come from a mother, or somebody with a mother's heart. So those two go together. But somewhere I heard those three things put together. Mother's Day, more phone calls than any other day, I believe, and I think I heard that this week. And any other time I failed to call my mother, it would have been okay, but had to be faithful to do it on Mother's Day. Eating out, how many of you are eating out today? How many of you mothers are going to get to eat out? Good, but it's hard to get in a restaurant on Mother's Day. You'll have to wait and wait and wait, because everybody else has the same idea. And so we've learned this through the years, that we eat out most every Sunday, but we're not eating out today. And I'm not cooking either. And so the girls are not either. So, Carol, we're honoring her by allowing her to cook, I guess. That was supposed to be a serious moment. Somebody asked me months ago if I could, they wrote a note and asked me if I could preach on Proverbs chapter 31 and beginning with verse 10 and following. And I put that note on the desk, and yes, I can find stuff on the desk. And so I see it occasionally. It gets to the top of the pile, and I thought this would be a good time to do that. And I think so. As I start talking and thinking about motherhood, I guess I know most about two mothers, my wife, as I've observed her being a mother, and my own mother, and they're pretty similar. Children come first, I think. I know in my mother's life, children came first. And I've seen Carol give up for children and for a husband. And y'all have probably seen it, and you probably don't think I appreciate it. And sometimes I probably don't act like it. Confession time. But I'm really deep down, I do. You know, there's surface and then there's deep down to a person. And deep down I do, and I'm trying to be, still working on it, trying to be more appreciative on the surface. Jesus and his mother. And I think of Jesus and his mother, the first miracle that Jesus performed, John chapter 2, turning water into wine at a wedding party, and the mother came to him and asked him about supplying some wine. They were about to run out. And Jesus did so and turned some water into wine, the best that they had that at that party. And then, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, undoubtedly suffering and great agony. Scripture tells us that he saw his mother and his disciple, and he called out, "Behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." And that's the beginning. And then there was one time that Jesus' mother and family came to visit him, but he took care of his preaching business. And then, did you see them later? Did he finish his sermon? He didn't let them disturb him from his responsibilities to the people at large. Even say his mother and brothers of those who heard his word and did what he said. Some things about mothers that I have learned. Brian Bill listed a bunch of them in a sermon that I discovered. It says, by the time a child reaches 18 years of age, we've got some are approaching there, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Kathy, I'm looking your way. Your teenager's over there. Has that been right? 1,000 hours extra a day, I guess. A year, I mean. Okay. And that'd be a month. That's a month. Did y'all know that, fellas? Okay. Week. You know that? Girls, did you know that? Okay. Women who never have children enjoy the equivalent of 3 extra months a year. 3 months a year in leisure time. Good to get the kids out of the house, isn't it? Hopefully they don't come back, okay. Or bring to stay. It was reported that a junior high science teacher lectured on the properties of magnets. The next day, he gave the student a quiz. The first question was, my name begins with M, has 6 letters, and I pick things up. What am I? Half of the class wrote mother. There was a father trying to explain to his 4-year-old the concept of marriage. He got out the wedding album, explained the entire wedding service to her. When he finished, he asked, "Do you have any questions?" She pointed to a picture at a wedding party, of their wedding party, and asked, "Daddy, is that when Mother came to work for us?" And And then it has been said, if daddy ain't happy, who cares? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. But Ralph Waldo Emerson, it is said that he said, men are what their mothers make them. And I believe that. And then there's an old Spanish proverb that I found. Yes, Spanish people have proverbs too, or have proverbs. An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. The writer of Proverb 31, he is writing about a virtuous woman. Virtuous woman. One has referred to this section of Scripture as being about the ideal woman. But it is also about the ideal mother. And I'm not believing that any one person can attain to this high ideal, can reach it. If you think you can, you got a mountain to climb. And you mature women and mature mothers, you know that you can't do it all. But let's look at the ideal mother. Ricky Burke gave us an outline that I borrowed. Loved his outline, didn't like what he said. And it kind of speaks to us. Again, knowing the danger of speaking on motherhood. The ideal mother is a valuable wife. There are many single mothers. There always have been since the beginning of time. But the ideal family, or the ideal situation, is to have a family headed by a father and a mother. But we know that we do not live in an ideal world. My mother, the age of, I guess, 34, 35, was left with three young children. Limited education. A house. A pretty good house. No job training. She did the best that she could. But she would say that she would never take her children and move into the house with somebody else. So people said, why don't you go live with your mother? This was in the late 40s. Or your family. Never, she said. And she was so stubborn, she said, I don't know if she really meant this or not, but she said, I would move out and live under a shade tree before I would move my children in the house with somebody else. And I could see. I could see beds set up under the big shade tree. We had about 10 in the front yard, I think, a bunch of them. We had a bunch of trees in our yard, and I could just see us living out there under the trees. And people driving by. That's worse than living on the front porch. Or having the washing machine on the front porch. And we did that for a while. We finally got it wrapped in the back, I think. But that was the situation. My dad had died. I did understand somewhere in some training that sometimes, I don't know if this was my mother or not, but I thought back, when a husband would die for no fault of his own, just die young, and that was pretty common in years past, and leave a woman with a bunch of children, and it happened the other way too, we would leave a woman with a bunch of children, and the woman would get so mad at that husband who had died for deserting her. And sometimes it felt like that. He ran off and left her to take care of those children. And she was struggling to do it. and she did. Husband and wife make a team to raise children. On the same team, they or you have the same goal, to build, provide for, and maintain a godly family. The writer of Proverbs 31 talks about the wife being a vigorous worker. All that is listed that the virtuous woman does is too much for anyone. Is it not? As we read this, can anybody say, any women say, my goodness, do I have to do all that? Maybe so. How does she have time to paint her fingernails? Or anything? Especially her toenails. Or get that massage she needs. Or go for the beauty treatment. Reading Proverbs 31, it shows that she works at home. Read verse 15 and verse 27. She gets up while it's still dark. Provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. What's a servant girl? Aren't the children supposed to wait on their parents? That was tongue in cheek, but I did thought it was servant girls. And then verse 27, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Somebody said that the most demanding job in the world is being a mother. A mother has to be a nurse, a teacher, a child psychologist, a dietitian, a housekeeper, a cook, and it takes hard work to build and maintain a family. And husbands, think of themselves. Women need help. Even when the football game is going really good, or the race, or whatever. Do we appreciate the hard work our wife does at home? And do we give her a hand? And I did a helping hand, but a helping hand. I did try to take over the cooking once, and the girl said, "Daddy, let Mama cook." And a few more things I tried to do, and Carol said, "Just let me do it." Maybe I should have insisted. Maybe the next life I will. Women must work outside the home many, many times, and they should not be made to feel like a bad wife or a bad mother. And sometimes they are made to feel that way in the church. And leaving your children, people will accuse them. Ideally, it might be okay. But go back and read the Old Testament, even the New Testament, and you'll find that situation. The woman of Proverbs 31 even works hard while she shops. And she does some shopping, and women get accused of doing a lot of shopping, but they have to. To buy stuff for their husbands because they don't know how to shop for themselves. So in verse 13, it says she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like a merchant ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark, that's verse 15, to provide food for her family and portions for her servant girls. 18, verse 18 and verse 24. 18 speaks that she sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. And then, 24 says she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes, clothing, clothing. I think the most important thing is that she's a virtuous woman. These are characteristics of the virtuous woman. Our society has placed so much emphasis on how a woman looks. But there is more to the ideal woman and the ideal mother than just looks. She has substance. She has virtue. Verse 20 describes the compassion that she shows. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. Verse 25 describes the character that she has. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. And then verse 26 describes the counsel that she gives. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. To sum it up, the ideal woman is Christ-like. Is there any better example for us to follow? Is there any better example for the ideal woman to follow? The woman, the mother, deserves our praise. The last four verses of this proverb says that a godly woman deserves to be praised. So us husbands, teenagers, children, we ought to pray. We must pray with godly women in our lives. Verse 28, her children arise and call her blessed. Do we do that? We must. We need to. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. That's a word of praise. And it not only makes the person receiving the praise happy and feel good, it makes the one giving the praise, speaking the praise, feel good. It honors God when we offer praise for our mothers. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is fleeting. But the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And then verse 31 says, give her the reward that she has earned. And as you read these preceding verses to verse 31, she's earned our respect, has she not? And let her works bring her praise in the city gates. It strengthens godly women to be praised. Husbands, teenagers, children, let us offer praise to the women in our lives. In doing so, we will strengthen her, honor God, and add joy to our own life. As we bow our heads, let's just think of our mother. It might even be an emotional thought, and that's okay. You mothers, praise comes to you. We thank you. Lord God, thank you for hearing us back. For the beauty of the earth, and one of the beautiful parts of the earth is godly women. So that's number 560. And let's stand and sing about father and mother and child. Let's just rejoice in what God has given us, especially our mother. 1, 3, and 5. Who have gone before us, will go with us, and will come after us. In Jesus' name.